session number 11042, Reel 5.
Mr. Eric Potten, Reel 5. Before we move on to the German counterattack at Cambrai, are there any other stories or incidents you remember from the actual attack at Cambrai, British attack?
Well, the tank that tried to get over the bridge or the canal at Masnier, it fell through into the water.
You saw that happen?
We saw it after it had happened. It happened just before we got there, you see. And all the crew managed to scramble out. One of the crew hadn't got a hair on his body, and he wore a wig, and he lost it. And there was an awful lot of correspondence about him getting a wig. He didn't know how to indent for one. It was really funny. It's in there.
Anything else?
No, I don't think so. He had to go around wearing one of these cap comforters, you know. You know what a cap comforter is?
Yes.
Yeah. He used to have to wear one of those all the time because he didn't no hair at all anywhere on him.
So, back into the thing, you were at Gouzeaucourt when the German counterattack came. Could you describe what exactly was happening, as far as you know?
Well, as far as we know, it was a muddle. It was just a question of a lot of people retreating. And at Villers-Plouche, that's the place where we actually came back to, they'd got some 6-inch guns firing over the sights at the German troops. You see, they took Gouzeaucourt, and that was the place where we started from, Gouzeaucourt. They'd come right in and through, you see. They'd taken that. They didn't hold it for long, but they got it for a little part of the time. I don't know whether it tells you in there or not.
All right, carry on.
Mm. So it was very, very much hit and miss sort of defence then.
Were you involved in the defence of Villers-Plouche?
We weren't. We were there. I, at one point, was directing some of the traffic, which way to go, not to go up to the line, you see, and that sort of thing. You didn't know when. You didn't know where the line was exactly. You never do anything cases like that.
So you were directing traffic from the rear, or retreating, or both?
To the way out. We didn't want to be caught, you see.
So you were directing the retreating troops away?
That's right, away to get back. And where any tanks that were down there, of course, had come up to help to stem they stemmed it in the end, you see, but they lost a lot, all the ground they got the first 2 or 3 days, they lost it all, you see, and they lost a lot of those tanks, of course, at the same time.
Did your battalion lose a lot of tanks?
We lost a fair amount, I think there's a number in there.
Well, if you could...
After that, I couldn't tell you exactly how many we lost. I know our company went back in a lorry. There was just a lorry load of our company, so we'd lost a fair amount.
Now, what was your company called at this time? Because didn't they change the numbered companies around about then?
It was B Company.
Still B Company?
Yes. Yeah, it was B Company.
What was your morale like then? You'd had this enormous success, and then all you got had been taken away. How did you feel about that?
You just took it in your stride somewhere. You didn't feel as if they were going to do anything much in the end, you know. But you knew that you'd been let down.
Who did you feel had let you down?
Well, the headquarters. There was no reserve. You see, to send troops into a big salient like that.
Like Ypres?
And no, just like Ypres, you see.
Oh, sorry, yes. You mean the salient made by Cambrai?
Yes, you see, 8 by 5. 8 miles wide. And they went in over 5 miles. So they'd taken a great lot. Well, if they'd had some reserves, but they hadn't got the reserves. They relied on cavalry to go in. Well, of course, cavalry are no good at all, and so they didn't send any in the end. So they'd no reserves to go in afterwards.
And were you vaguely aware of this at the time?
Well, when we heard about them breaking through, we knew. Knew what had happened, you see. Of course, we knew there were no reserves. We'd got no reserves at all, you see.
And you were aware of that at the time?
Well, we were when we had to start going right down the salient, back to Village Plouche, you see, and Guzico, that way. You knew something had happened. You didn't know exactly what. You're very much in the dark in those days, private soldier, or only the high ups that knew what was happening, and well, they didn't know what was happening half the time, I don't think, including Haig.
So, what did you do after that then? You went into winter quarters, didn't you?
Yes.
To rebuild.
Our company went back by lorry to, I forget now where we went to.
Could it be Bray or Somme?
Yes, Bray would be the last place. But we had been, having lost our tank, had been posted as missing.
What, your crew?
Our crew. And when we did get back, the officer, our officer was still with us. He bought us everything. He bought up the canteen nearly for us. Because we were on our rations, you see, on iron rations. We'd had iron rations for about 3 or 4 days. 3 days, anyhow. And, yes, they were very pleased to see us back again.
Had they posted notices home saying you were missing?
I don't think they had. I'm not sure. I have an idea they did. There was some rumours of something up home, I don't know. Because they wouldn't do that unless absolutely sure of it, I don't suppose. Not as quick as that, anyhow.
Do you remember much about life in the Bray or Somme camp you were in? Because you were in there for a couple of months, weren't you?
Yes, it was a rather large camp. A lot of buildings had been taken over, and then others were put up. We got a concert party while we were there, and we made a theatre, a large hut, and then dug down so that everything went down to the orchestra pit. We had an orchestra in the front, and then the stage up above again, just like it would be, see. We put on all sorts of funny things. And
were you in the concert party?
I was in the concert party, yes.
What could you describe a bit more about that? That's quite interesting about concert party. What sort of thing, what was your act?
Well, more a question of walking on, you know, and pretending to be a gentleman with top hat and all that sort of thing. We got a lot of different things to put on and that sort of thing, and a lot of songs we sung. And
so you were a singer?
Yes, and of course they'd some of them would go on with a lot of patter. We had a lot of people who had theatrical training, you know, those kind of things. The same as we had a lot of sportsmen.
So it was quite a good standard.
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, for instance, one of my officers was C.G.H. Tolley, the amateur golf champion. And another one was Jimmy Walker from Scottish football. And we had a lot of people like that, you see. That,
did you play any sport while you were there?
We used to play rugby when we were up at Ypres, even in some of the fields, but many a time we used to have to stop because of them being shelled. It was a rugby of a sort, you see. It was instead of PT, of course, he used to do that.
Did you play while you were at Bracieux Somme?
No, I never played much there.
Right, now, there was some changes in January, and I looked it up in the battalion history, and that's when you became B Company. That's understandable. You were B Company from January on through the rest of the war. What number were you before? I notice your battalion history says you were 17 Company. Would that be right?
17 Company.
So when you went in at Cambrai, it wasn't B, it was 17 Company.
It was 17 then.
F Battalion.
Yes.
And now you became B Company, 6th Battalion.
That's correct. So it was 17 Company F Battalion before.
And so now you'd swapped and the letters were for the company.
That's right.
Did the battalion change much in these? You know, you'd had a lot of new people coming into it, new officers. Did you notice any change?
Some commanding officers thought more of the troops than others, you know.
What do you mean? Could you just explain?
For instance, when we got back to some of our winter quarters, different places, there was huge sheds, and they put up beds, you know, wire beds, tiers, two-tier beds, and then you had a mattress on the top of that. And one officer, Colonel Truman, one of Truman Zale's people, he was very good. He said, the men must be put right first before the officers have anything done at all. And the officers were intense, well, they got these beds up and everything like that. He's a very nice chap, Truman. He didn't last very long, he got wounded. And there's a picture of him in there with a stick. And then, of course,
so he was a good officer. Were some of them?
Well, some of them wouldn't think more of the men than the officers, you see. Some of them wouldn't think it like that. Well, I wouldn't say that they were bad officers or anything like that. It was maybe just a question of the sort of people they were. They didn't think, you see.
Did you have any sort of Christmas celebrations at Bracieux Somme?
Yes, we had a Christmas dinner. The officers served it.
Was it a good meal?
Yes, quite a good meal, as far as I can remember. We never had any. I know one thing, it wasn't at Bray, but one of the places where we had these big sheds, because it was very cold, your boots used to freeze in the night, you know, and all that sort of thing. You used to have to burn paper in your boots to get them on in the morning. And
what, you literally burnt paper?
Yes, yeah, but literally. You couldn't move them, they were too hard. If you got some water ready for morning and put it to the side of your bed, it was a block of ice nearly in the morning. It was all ice on top of it.
Wouldn't burning paper in the boots damage them?
Well, you didn't leave it in long enough for that. It was more a question of that sort of thing, you know.
You should have got burning paper and
yes,
put them in quickly.
Yes, and push it along round it and that sort of thing.
So you say, were there any other effects of the cold at some of these camps?
Yeah, I was going to say, they got some braziers. And, of course, that smoked everybody out. He seemed terrible in there at times, but you had to do something to get warm.
Did the cold bother you?
No central heat. I never bothered, but particularly, you know what I mean? You're used to cold enough, but...
What was your health like during this period? Are you all right?
Oh, yes, quite good. Oh, yeah. Yes, I don't think cold hurts you, really.
Now, during this period, some of the battalion were being introduced to the Whippets.
Some of them would be, yes.
But you weren't, were you?
No, we weren't. Just that period. We had the Mount Foresters look after.
And so you weren't aware of this question of Whippets being introduced?
Well, we knew they were being introduced, but we didn't know when. You see, we didn't know that they were actually getting training on them.
Because
they have to have trained officers to train the other men. So they had to train them, you see, first. Those would be the people that went there in December.
So you were still working on a Mark IVs. You got your new Mark IVs, did you?
Yes, they've got some Mark Fives as well.
And which were you a crew member of?
I couldn't tell you. It might have been a four or it might have been a five.
And you I presume you don't remember.
I mean, they didn't say on them whether they were fours or fives. So.
What were the differences? Do you know?
Well, I don't know. I suppose there were some differences. They make a difference in the armour plating, for one thing.
Was there much difference to see?
No, there wasn't much difference to see at all. I mean, I saw one of the tanks about 3 or 4 months ago at Lincoln. I went to Lincoln when they were getting one of the tanks for their museum. And it was one that had been in there at Cambry. And I'd even got the pits where the bullets had hit it, all around the guns, you see. And it didn't seem any different from the one I went in. That was a Mark IV, I think.
So, not a big difference at all.
No, was it
a male or a female you were put on at this time?
Oh, I was still on the female then, I think, yeah. It didn't usually change over much, you see. And, of course, seeing that we weren't going in extra or anything like that, just at that time, we...
Now, in February, you were moved up to Whaley, behind Arras.
Yes, that's right.
And...
That was one of the places that we had captured early on, you know. Early on in the war.
That's where you'd done some earlier tank training.
That's where we'd
it?
Done the tank training.
While you were at Oshie.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
So you went back there in sort of February. Now, what happened then? Because what happened to you during the German offensive?
Oh, during the German offensive?
Or if you want, do you remember anything about your time at Whaley?
Well, at Whaley, of course, we did the training on the old fortifications, tank traps and all sorts of things like that.
You did this again when you went there the second...
They kept on doing it, yes. February. Yes, they kept on doing it. But if you want to... You want to know from the start of the German offensive?
Well, not any more about Whaley. Sorry, I shouldn't...
No, I don't... We had some tank races there. We had tank races. You imagine 4 or 5 miles an hour. But really funny at times. And
you'd be in the tank, would you, during these races, or would it just be the drivers?
Oh, just the drivers, when they had those.
What did they look like? A tank race. It must have looked strange.
Well, of course, they weren't going very fast, and that's it to start with.
Would it be over an obstacle course?
Yeah, there'd be some obstacles in the way. But, bit of fun.
Right, so what, from the 21st of March then, what was your first inkling that there was going to be a German attack?
At about 3 a.m. on the morning, 21st, isn't it? Our camp was shelled by long-range guns. That's the first time it had been shelled. And they hit the orderly room. They killed an officer, and I think seven men were killed. And we had to clear. They started firing indiscriminately at us, so we had to clear out quick. We got the tanks out of the way, all the lot. That was the first we knew that anything had happened at all, and we were told that they'd started an offensive. We moved off, and, well, actually, we didn't know where we were going.
Exactly.
The officers did, but we didn't. We just had to carry on. We got on the top of the tanks and went. Everybody got on the tanks, and the whole cavalcade moved up. They were going to some place, and we didn't know where. But we managed to get to some place behind the guards, third line of defence. And we left our tanks at the back of the line, and we got into these trenches.
So you acted as infantry?
We were going to act as infantry if anything happened, but nothing.
Why
did.
Was that? Wouldn't you have been better in your tanks? With the machine guns and everything?
Well, that's what we couldn't understand, but as it happened, I don't know why we should do that at all. And we had a very uncomfortable time while we were in there because he shelled us with gas. And that's the only time I had to wear my gas mask. And very pleased to have it on, too.
Which gas was it? Have you any idea?
Mustard gas, I think.
And what was it like? How did you get the warning?
Well, as soon as they were ready for it, you see, expecting there might be gas, there was always somebody ready to give the alarm.
What was the alarm?
The generally clanging on something, you see. And yes, we.
Was there a panic putting your gas mask on? I mean, was it a frightening thing?
Well, it wasn't a question of panic, no. Oh, no. You'd done it so many times. Practice, you see. You soon got it on.
And what was it like breathing in through a gas mask?
It was horrible getting a whiff of gas before you got it on.
Do you remember what it smelt like?
No, I can't tell you.
What was it
that.
Like wearing a mask then?
Well, not very nice. Of course, you didn't want to do much. It restricted your breathing, naturally. But it was better than the gas.
The mustard gas doesn't just affect your breathing, it affects, you know, anything. Did it affect any part of your body?
No. So I don't know what sort of gas it would be, you see. It might not be mustard gas, it might have been something else.
But what else happened during this period?
Well,
you were just you weren't in the front line, were you?
No.
You were in a reserve line.
That's right. Nothing happened just there. The front line must have held, and we went on to different other places round about, kept in reserve. We were kept more in reserve. Now, that push captured a lot of the ground that we'd been training on, the old defences. That march push went a long way. That way.
Now do you remember the retreat at all? Because your battalion didn't actually clash with the Germans at this stage, did you?
No, we didn't clash with them.
So you were falling back, weren't you?
We were falling back, so we didn't know exactly where they were, you see. You did what you were told in those days, and you'd be told to go You just carry on and go behind the first tank and start thinking.
You just went under your own power then?
Oh, yes, under our own power.
And were the roads busy with retreating troops, or...?
Well, I can't remember where. Can't remember who were. Of course, we went different routes, perhaps, so they were retreating. We wouldn't be quite so close to the Germans.
Just a question. When you went on a French road, would the tracks destroy the road?
Well, they might do, yeah. They might. If you're skewed round, you see. If you wanted to move one side. Of course, naturally, it would screw round in the road. Oh,
and that
yes.
would screw the tarmac.
Oh, naturally,
it.
Yeah. Because they weren't all tarmacked roads, you know.
So you were retreating for quite a while, weren't you?
We were, actually. Although we hardly knew it. We didn't.
You weren't aware of the strategic situation?
No, we weren't.
So you were just making movements. You didn't have the feeling you were retreating.
We're just going to places in case anything happened.
Were you able to, you know, in a retreat like that, keep your stores up? I mean, were you able to keep fed and the things you needed for the tank?
Well, of course, with a tank, you could always have a bed at night. You put a tarpaulin over the front. You can get underneath the tracks. You're well covered in there, you see. You could carry things all right. Plenty of stuff was carried on the tanks, on the top and inside, in different places. So you were a lot better off that way than the infantry and then.
What about things like petrol and water that you needed? Were you able to get those?
Well, that was put up in dumps, you see, at different places. I suppose they'd make a dump and tell you where it was and you go and fill up. Well, they wouldn't leave it for the enemy, anyhow.
Do you remember now where you were during this period?
No, it was very confused. We didn't know the villages we went through. If we went through a village, we more often were on open ground. So we didn't bother with villages. So we really didn't know where we were.
And
of course, the officers would know where we were going. They'd be at their orders.
You always went under your own steam, did you?
Oh, yes.
Well, you said you went across country. You mean you'd go through hedges and things, or...?
Oh, yes. If you're going from A to B, you went the straight line. If a house got in your way, if it wasn't occupied, you went through it. That's the other thing.
You really would go through a house then?
Oh, yes, certainly. Certain houses, small houses, if they're in the way, if you couldn't get any other way, you wouldn't.
Would a tank have trouble getting over or through a house? Or?
No, I shouldn't think so. See, once it gets its nose in, pushes about, you see, sides. Oh, we did a lot of that, really. You couldn't be bothered with going round places.
So they were pretty destructive?
Oh, they could be. Oh, yes. But they weren't all destructive, of course.
So what happened next that you remember after the retreat was going on?
Well, as far as I know, the retreat got halted. But they'd pushed in a very long way onto some of the ground that they'd not been since about 1915. I should think. Whaley and all those places were taken back, you see. And they'd been stopped. And of course they got the trench system again going. And then of course we'd got to start and push them back again. That was the trouble. But that's when we got the whippets.